today is taken out of the 46th chapter of the book of Genesis. Last week, we concluded the lesson with speaking to you about Jacob being at Beersheba and how that God appeared unto him there and how that he spoke unto him and told him not to be afraid to go down into Egypt, but that he would be with him and that he would make of him a great nation down in the land of Egypt, and that he likewise would have Joseph lay his hand upon his eyes. We read that Jacob arose from Beersheba and went down into the land of Egypt. He came into the land of Goshen. This was a very fertile valley on the east side of the river Nile. This particular territory Joseph acquired from Pharaoh for his father and for his brethren to dwell in. Jacob then sent Judah before his face, and Judah came down into the land of Goshen and told Joseph that Jacob, his father, was coming down into this land. And we find that when Joseph received the message that Jacob was coming, he went with his chariot to the land of Goshen and met his father Jacob. And when they met together, they fell upon each other's neck and they both wept a good while. This, my hearers, was a wonderful meeting between a father and his son. Jacob had thought Joseph to be dead, had never thought that he would see him alive again, and now he is permitted to meet him, and he is the second ruler in the land of Egypt. And when he seen him, he said unto Joseph, "Now let me die, because I have seen thy face face to face." All my hearers, now this meeting, what a wonderful meeting it must have been between Jacob and Joseph. I would refer you back to the parable of the prodigal son, where the Lord Jesus teaches and says in one particular verse there that the father said, "This my son was dead, but is alive again." So it was for Jacob. For now he's seen his son, and he wished to die. My hearers, in this short paragraph of Jacob meeting Joseph, there lies a very beautiful spiritual meaning. That Jacob, he had mourned so when he was told that his son Joseph was probably torn to pieces by a wild beast. And he thought that he would go down to the grave mourning for his son. This, my hearers, is the experience of every child of God. Joseph, he had been the one beloved son of Jacob, and he had enjoyed his presence and his company for 17 years. And then Joseph was suddenly taken away, and he thought that he was dead, and he thought he never would see him again. Has it been your experience spiritually? Some of my hearers, you have enjoyed something of the Lord. He has come into your heart. He has melted it to pieces. And you have had communion with him and fellowship with him. You have talked with him. You have confessed your sins before him. And you have enjoyed much of his presence under the means of grace. And likewise, when in secret on your knees, you were given to pour out your soul unto him. And oh, what a wonderful time this was for your soul. But there came a time for you, like with Jacob, that suddenly this was all taken away. Those lively feelings, those lively outgoings of soul that you had to the Lord, they seemed to subside. Of coming under the means of grace, you had such an ear to hear and a heart to understand, and this likewise was taken away. And you began to mourn. You wanted to live, and you could not. You tried in every way to get back those lively feelings, but no matter how you tried, they did not come back. And like Jacob, you said, I will go mourning down to the grave. I'll never find him. He'll never reveal himself to me. Have you ever been like that? All my hearers, it sometimes lasts a long time. Lasted 17 years for Jacob before he seen Joseph again. May be that you're in this poor, famishing condition, and you fear that you're going to die, you're not going to find Jesus. But oh, there is encouragement here for you, Saul. Did Jesus once upon thee shine, then Jesus is forever thine. Jacob was given again to meet Joseph. And oh, there's a time coming for you, Saul, when Jesus will again come and will reveal himself unto your heart. And he likewise will speak again and comfort you and encourage you to believe that you will be with him in glory above. All this meeting you are looking forward to, this is what you long for, that Christ may reveal himself unto you, and that you may see him face to face and be given to believe that you are one of his children. Oh, when this takes place, my hearers, and I do hope it may take place with you and with myself very soon, oh, then I am sure, my hearers, that we will say the same thing that Jacob said, now let me die. You wouldn't want to live any longer then. Oh, this has been the case with so many of the saints of God. Oh, on their deathbed, Jesus has appeared, has revealed his lovely face, and they did not want to live any longer. They wanted to depart to be with him, which would be far better. Oh, may you receive courage and comfort, poor seeking soul, desponding soul, looking, longing, waiting, thinking you'll never have what you're seeking after. Oh, he is faithful. He keepeth his word unto 1,000 generations. And now after this wonderful meeting, and we find that Joseph speaks unto his father and unto his brethren, and tells them that he would go in and speak unto Pharaoh and tell them that they were shepherds and that their trade was with cattle and that he would plead with Pharaoh for the land of Goshen, for this was a very fertile piece of ground where their cattle would have sufficient fodder to graze on. And therefore he said to them, when I present you to Pharaoh, you tell him the same thing. And he took them in and presented 5 of them unto Pharaoh. And they spake unto Pharaoh and said that their trade was with cattle, and that they were shepherds, and they desired to live in the land of Goshen. Pharaoh, he consented and said unto Joseph, take your father and his brethren, and place them in the best of the land in Ramesses, and let them dwell there. This was correct, my hearers. They didn't just come down into the land of Egypt and say, well, we're going to dwell here. No, they got consent of the ruler of the land. So that actually they were citizens even of the land of Egypt. And now we find that in this land of Egypt, it got very bad. It got so bad that there wasn't any bread anymore to eat. And now the people in the land, they came to Joseph. And they bought corn off Joseph. And they paid him with their money for this corn. And now, gradually, they didn't have any more money to buy corn with. And then they came to Joseph and said, give us corn. Let us not die in thy presence, let us live. Well, he said, give your cattle. So these Egyptians, they gave their cattle unto Joseph, and he fed them for their cattle another full year. The money and the cattle he gave to the ruler, Pharaoh. And now at the end of that year, then they came to Joseph and said, "We will not hide our case from thee. Thou knowest, money faileth, our cattle you have, and now all that there is left is our bodies and our land. Buy us our bodies and our land, and we will be thy servants." So now Joseph, he began to buy the land of Egypt. For each Egyptian sold his field unto Joseph, and the land became Pharaoh's. And my hearers, these poor Egyptians, they had nothing anymore. Out of necessity, they were forced to come to Joseph, and he in turn gave them corn so that they would live. He likewise gave them seed so that they could plant it and they could grow food for themselves. In this, my hearers, we have again a beautiful spiritual meaning. Every child of God has a time in its life when God visits it and God nourishes it and feeds it. And when they experience this, this is such a wonderful time. Oh, then they surely think that soon they will get what they are seeking after. For he is near unto their souls, and he is dear and precious unto them. Oh, haven't you ever had anything under the means of grace? Haven't you ever been fed? Haven't you ever had a feast? I would come down to a crumb. Has the Lord ever given you a crumb? Have you ever tasted that the Lord is gracious, that he's merciful? Oh, how good is a crumb, my hearers, for a poor starving sinner. And now when this takes place, my hearers, whenever we get something, we build upon that. Oh, we think surely God has a favor to us, and surely he will look down upon these signs and these tokens that he has given unto us, and he will grant unto us the desires of our soul. But like it went with the Egyptians, my hearers, a time comes when this soul is brought into a famishing condition. Oh, they come up under the means of grace, and there's nothing there anymore. They read the Bible, there's nothing in the Bible for them. They close the book. They go on their knees, they pray, there's no nearness to God. They haven't got any felt realization that he's listened to their prayers. Oh, they are poor, vanishing creatures. Why, they get to that point, my hearers, that they think, "I'm going to die in this state." They haven't got anything anymore. You know, that isn't a pleasant experience, to be stripped of everything that you think that you have, to find all these tokens and all these signs taken away, and you don't have them anymore, and you can't see them anymore, and you don't have any faith to believe that they were given to you at that time. Oh, my hearers, God does this because he shall fulfill his word. What I have planted, I will root out, and what I have builded, I will break down. And now when this takes place, a poor sinner is stripped of everything that he had. All his money is gone. Everything that he thought would be payment for heaven is taken away. And now, what brought these people down into the land of Egypt? It was a famine. Out of necessity, they were forced to come to Joseph. So were the Egyptians, and so were each soul. They must come to this heavenly Joseph, and they must throw themselves down before him and say, "Now, buy us, for we will be thy servants." And oh, my hearers, what a blessing when we may lay before him in this way, for we haven't got anything then. And then he accepts us. Then he saves us. And then we will have to say the same as the Egyptians said. They said unto Joseph after, "Thou has saved our lives." And that's what you will have to say. For all the glory and all the honor of your salvation, you will lay upon the head of this blessed heavenly Joseph. And now, my hearers, we find that Jacob, he was 130 years of age when he came down into the land of Egypt, and he dwelt in this land 17 years. Jacob then became 147 years of age. And now the time drew nigh that Jacob must die. And Jacob, he sent for his son Joseph, and Joseph took his two sons with him, Manasseh and Ephraim, and he went to visit his father, who was very sick. And now when Jacob heard that Joseph was coming, he raised himself up on the bed, and he spoke unto his son Joseph, and demanded of him that when he died, that he should not bury him in the land of Egypt, but that he should take his body and bury it in the land of Canaan. That he should bury it in the same cave where Abraham and Isaac were buried, and where he likewise had buried his wife, Leah. He made Joseph swear unto him that he would certainly do this. And Joseph, he sweared unto him. And then Jacob, he calls all his sons together. And he begins to speak unto each and every one of them. He commands that they likewise would be blessed exceedingly. Each one of these sons would become a tribe, and they would be blessed by the God of heaven, and that they would multiply abundantly. Jacob then, he's on his deathbed. And on his deathbed, the Spirit of God comes down into his soul, and he begins as a prophet to explain and to foretell what would take place with his sons and with the tribes that would spring forth from them. And now in the midst of his prophecies, my hearers, in the 18th verse, we find him suddenly saying, in the midst of all this, I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. O my hearers, he took a breath out there and spake the longing and the desire of his soul. That Jacob, he had experienced something of this salvation in his life. He had had a meeting with God at Bethel. There God had promised to be with him. God had said he would make of him a great nation. And God had said likewise that he would take care of him and provide for him, and he would bless him abundantly. And God fulfilled his promise unto Jacob. For Jacob was blessed abundantly by God, even providentially. At one time he cries out, I am the least of all the mercies and all the blessings that thou hast shown unto me. And then when he came to the brook Jabbok, there he was so filled with wonder. He had went over that brook with a staff in his hand, and now he returned, and he had two bands. He had so many cattle and so many wives and so many children. The Lord had wonderfully blessed him. And here, in this particular place, God came to him again and met with him and gave him that wonderful visit, Peniel. There he seen God face to face, and his soul had been preserved. Jacob was thinking of this while he was upon his deathbed, and now he was longing and waiting that the Lord would take him home to be with himself. Jacob then was in a wonderful state when he was upon his deathbed. All my hearers, have you any longings? Have you any desires in your soul after this salvation that Jacob had his eye upon? Salvation is a deliverance, even in a temporal sense, but likewise it points to that great deliverance by Jesus Christ of all mankind. It would be a wonderful deliverance for Jacob. He would be taken out of this troublesome world. All his trials would come to an end, and he would be with the angel that had redeemed him from all evil. There he longed to be, and this he had his eye upon when he was speaking unto his sons. Oh, my hearers, did Jacob draw nigh. To the time that he had to die, there is a time coming for you and I, my hearers, when we have to die. We don't like to talk about death. We don't like to hear about death. We put death far from us. But believe me, the time is drawing nigh. Who knows how nigh death may be to any one of us. Oh, death is a great enemy of mankind. Death is a departure out of this world. Death is a dissolving of this tabernacle. And oh, my hearers, how often hasn't it happened, even in our midst, that suddenly one of those that we know and have lived with all our lives has suddenly been taken away. No warning, no deathbed, just cut off. What maketh you and I to differ, my hearers? It is only the goodness of God over us that we are yet alive. But believe me, death is drawing nigh. And oh, how shall it go with you when this grim monster comes to take you from off this universe? Shall it be well with you? Have you any hope that you shall see God and be with him? Have you that in your heart that you are longing for that salvation? Longing to go home, to be delivered from a body of sin and death. Longing to be where there'll never be any more sin, where you'll see him as he is and be like he is. Oh, blessed longings. Oh, that they were more exercised in our hearts, my hearers, that we lived more above this earth and lived more looking forward to our heavenly home. Jacob was looking forward to this glorious abode, and soon, after he had commanded his sons and blessed them, he gathered his feet into the bed, and he gave up the ghost, and he was gathered to his people. Oh, blessed death for Jacob, my hearers. May you and I have such a blessed death. May the Spirit of God come down in you and my heart. When we have to leave this world, then death will be no death, but it will be a gateway unto glory abound. And now, my hearers, these sons of Jacob, they did as their father commanded them, for he had commanded them that they should take his body and bury it in the land of Canaan. And Joseph went in to Pharaoh and told him how that he had swore unto his father that he would do this for him. And Pharaoh gave him permission to go up into the land of Canaan to bury his father. And many of the elders of Egypt and all his brethren went with him. It was a great company that went up out of the land of Egypt to bury this man, Jacob, this saint. They first embalmed him, as was the custom in the land of Egypt. This embalming, my hearers, was an art that the Egyptians excelled in. Likewise, the Israelites, they imitated them very much in this. These Egyptians, they used to take the bodies of people that died, and they used to wind bandages around them and insert in these bandages saltpeter and myrrh and aloes and other things. And these bodies that they did this to, my hearers, were preserved for hundreds of years. Sometimes they took the body and they made incisions in the body and they inserted these chemicals in there. And then they put this person in a coffin. They painted a picture of the person on the outside of the coffin, and they set the coffin up in the room. And sometimes that coffin remained there for years and years. And the picture of the person was plainly seen on the outside of the coffin. The bodies of these people that have been treated in this way by the Egyptians were preserved for over 2,000 and 3,000 years. Sometimes they buried it in subterranean caves. They found multitudes of these mummies lying in rows, buried like this, and also treated in this way by the Egyptians, and they were preserved from putrefaction. And they may be seen even to this day in a museum in London, these mummies, which have been kept by the art of the Egyptians from deteriorating and becoming dust. And now they embalmed this man, Jacob, and they took him up into the land of Canaan, and they buried him in the cave that he had requested to be buried in. All the mourning that went on when they did this, you may read of in this chapter. We will not refer to it. But we come to the last chapter, my hearers, where Joseph and his brethren return into the land of Egypt. And now when they came back to the land of Egypt, we find that these brethren, they did not trust Joseph. They were very suspicious about him. They thought, now that our father is dead, what is he going to do? He's going to seek vengeance out upon us because we sinned against him. We did evil to him. Can you imagine that? After all what Joseph did for them, how good he had treated them, how he had even got for them the land of Goshen, how he had fed them and nourished them all those years, and now they had such wicked thoughts about Joseph. And therefore, they sent a messenger to Joseph. And they said, our father, when he was yet alive, he said that we should send word to you and ask you to forgive us our sins and our trespasses, for we have done you evil. And after they had sent this messenger, they came themselves, and they threw themselves down before Joseph and said, forgive us our sins, and we will be thy servants. Oh, my hearers, Joseph, he began to weep. He began to cry when they came to him in this way. And Joseph, he spake unto them and said that he would feed them. He would nourish them and their little ones. And he said, it is true, you have sinned against me. But God has thought to do good with what you have done towards me. I am not in the place of God, he says. You come and fall before me. I am not God, he says. Fall before him. Confess your sins unto him and seek forgiveness by him. This, what Joseph said, was so true. They had done Joseph a very great evil. They did not believe the dreams that he had had, and they hated him for them, and they cruelly took him and threw him in a cave, and finally they sold him, thinking that he would be a slave and that he would remain such in the land of Egypt and die that way. But here, God, in his all-wise providence, was behind all what these brothers had done. It was of God then that this all took place. Yes, they had sinned, no question about it, but God had used it for his honor, for his glory, and to keep a great people alive as it was to that day. God works in very mysterious ways, my hearers. That Joseph was a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was sold by Judas for 30 pieces of silver. He was taken and cast into prison. He was brought before the court, and he was condemned to die unjustly. And Jesus was crucified, and he died and arose again. And this was the most horrible murder that ever took place in this world, my hearers. And still it was by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God that this awful crime took place. And so it was in Joseph's case. It was God that was behind this, my hearers. And now my hearers, in this, what these brethren did after Jacob was dead is something like what you and I do, if you have grace in your heart. You know, they became suspicious about Joseph. They thought sure that he would visit them for their sins. He would take vengeance upon them. Let me ask you a question. Do your former sins ever rise up against you? Does God ever show you what you did in your youth? And when he begins to show unto you your many inconsistencies and failures, your many slips and falls, your many backslidings, what do you begin to do? You begin to fear. You begin to think, surely God is going to punish me. God is going to visit me for my sins. And oh, haven't you often had, under the word, a token that he had a favor towards you? Had he not visited you and nourished you and fed you many times? And still when this comes up, you get suspicious. Your unbelief rises up and you begin to think that God will surely punish you. You can't believe that he will remain what he is and that he has a favor towards you, that he loves you. Oh, my hearers, do you not do just like these brethren do? What did they do? They send the messenger to Joseph. They pleaded with Joseph for the forgiveness of their sins. And they said, our Father told us to do this. Doesn't God the Father in heaven above teach us that there is forgiveness for our sins in the person, in the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son? And all my hearers, do you not send a message to him, pleading with him that he would forgive your sins? And do you not come like Joseph's brethren, and they threw themselves down before him,